Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Not Just New Movies podcast, the show where we review a seemingly random film currently not in theaters. My name is Ben Pearson, and today we're going to be talking about George Roy Hill's 1977 film Slapshot. Now, this actually may come as a bit of a surprise to regular listeners, since at the end of last week's episode, we said that we were actually going to be watching Lawrence of Arabia this week.
Lies.
Yes, lies, unfortunately. Our regular co-host, Pat Miller, suffered a loss in the family this week, so he is currently back in Florida, and we did not get a chance to watch Lawrence of Arabia, and I know he really wants to see that, so we decided to bump that to a later date and watch Slapshot instead. And
people are pissed.
Yeah, if you guys
riots in the street,
longtime listeners, if you did watch Lawrence of Arabia in preparation for our discussion on it, I sincerely apologize. We will be watching it sometime in the near future, but just not currently. So joining me today is my regular and trusty co-host Tyler Brands. Tyler, what's happening?
It's not my fault, folks.
No, it's nobody's fault. It's life's fault. So if you guys are just joining us for the first time, we start every episode with the character name game, transition into our media consume section where we talk about what we've been watching, move into our review of the week, and finish up with listener voicemails and emails. You can always leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566 or email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. And you can find this and every other episode of this podcast at notjustnewmovies.com. So, Tyler, I believe it is your turn for the character name game this week. What do you have in store for us?
Yeah, I've been working all week on it, you know, watching the movies that came out this week and doing some research, you know, watching movies that have connections.
Uh-huh.
And I came up with this one. Let me tell you right now.
Okay.
Babe. Please don't interrupt me while I'm speaking. Babe Bennett.
Babe Bennett. Okay.
Babe Bennett.
Well, we'll return to that at the very end of the episode. And for those playing along at home, remember that the character of Babe Bennett must have some sort of connection to a movie that was released this past Friday, which would have been, December 10th, 2010. So let's go ahead and move into our media consume section. We normally start with Pat, but Tyler, let's go ahead and move on to you. What have you been consuming this week?
Well, Ben, you know, I'm a couple days into Van Damme December, about 2 weeks now. So I've watched my second Van Damme movie, and one that you've seen as well, The Quest from 1996, directed by Jean-Claude Van Damme. So this is like a double dose of Van Damage as far as directorial and actorial.
Nice.
I remember it being kind of crappy when I first watched it, maybe because we were, you know, unrelentingly abusing it verbally while we were watching it, but sitting down and watching it for a second time, I mean, it's just a goofy movie. It's not even really that goofy. It's a good showcase of martial arts, especially at the end where he enters the tournament. Van Damme's character enters the tournament, but the beginning is kind of weird because he's like a clown in the 1920s, and so you're already like, wait, this is gonna be bad. And then he meets up with Roger Moore, who is a pirate. You're not familiar with Roger Moore, he played James Bond in like 70s and 80s, and so he like takes him to this tournament, and there's a female journalist that tags along. It's a very good movie. I suggest everyone check it out. But the real problem I had with it is the very beginning, where old time Jean-Claude Van Damme, it's like I guess the 90s, and he's up in his 90s maybe as far as his age. And he walks into a bar and he just beats up these kids that try to rob the place. And I guess he's telling this story. This movie is a story he's telling to the bartender. And at the very end, do you remember this? At the very end, he like finishes his story to the bartender, and
yes.
And then it flashes back to some photos, and then he closes a book.
Right.
That's The Quest on the cover.
Right. Yes.
So you're like, wait, was he telling the story to the bartender, or was the story to the bartender in a book that he was reading? Was he reading the book too? It was all very meta, I guess.
Yeah.
As the kids are calling it now.
Right.
But, I didn't realize that the first viewing that the book was written by the female reporter who had been on the trip with them.
So. Okay, I didn't realize that either. It struck me as really strange, like one further level of aiming narrative, like, you know, because that's pretty common for movies to start out you know, in the beginning with somebody telling a story and then wrap up with that. You know, that's a common
right.
kind of
opening a book and then closing a book, but actually having someone tell a flashback story that's within a book from the entire movie is really out there.
And then not bookending it on the front with letting us know that it was in a book. So it just throws the book aspect in at the very end, and it just kind of confuses the viewer.
But like you said, it was a good showcase of martial arts, because the tournament is like kind of like your Street Fighter or Tournament of Champions, whatever, where everybody comes from different countries and they all have their own fighting styles, and they're all like stereotypical, like the guy from Scotland fights in a kilt and the guy from Africa has like, you know, tribal drums playing while he's fighting, and then the guy from China does like the monkey and the snake and the tiger. Martial art moves. But if you're into martial arts movies, it's really good. And he goes to like Muay Thai Island, which sounds pretty stupid considering they teach Muay Thai on the island. But, yeah, I mean, if you enjoyed Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, I'd suggest checking out this Van Damme movie, because it's kind of silly at the beginning, but you get used to it and you kind of eventually enjoy the film as a whole.
Yeah, I just remember Roger Moore's character being just absurd on almost every level. Like, he's wearing, if I recall correctly, like this kind of white sailor's jacket and like a sailing cap and smoking a pipe and stuff. It's just really bizarre.
Yeah, they were kind of comic book characters in themselves, like stereotypes. You know, he's of course a British naval captain.
What was the one that you watched last week for Van Damme December? Was it
Nowhere to Run?
Nowhere to Run. So how would you kind of stack up the Quest versus Nowhere to Run?
Nowhere to Run, half of Van Damme star. The Quest, 4.5 Van Damme stars.
Wow. Okay. Drastic difference. All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. What else have you been watching? Anything else?
I actually got a chance to watch The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters this week, which. Another excellent movie, you know, two in a row this week. I'm pretty proud of myself.
Nice.
I know you've seen this too. It tells the tale of Steve against Billy Mitchell and trying to beat Mitchell's Donkey Kong high score that he set like 1982.
This is a documentary from 2007.
Yeah, it's a documentary. But the weird thing about it was, and I think the brightest achievement of the movie is that it was documentary style, but it created so much drama and like antagonism and with these characters that we presume to be real people, you know, or I presume to be real people, but they've created like villains and heroes in a documentary of like regular people, which I thought was pretty cool, because Billy Mitchell is a total tool bag.
Yeah.
So this guy, if you've ever seen, like, check the movie out and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But this guy's got like the beard and the long hair. And when he answers the phone, he's like, championship headquarters, and just really douchey stuff like that. And this organization that takes in all the video game scores, like you mail in your scores, like videotape of you beating the game or something. And there's this organization, Twin Galaxies, that like accumulates and monitors all the scores that come in from around the world. Well, Billy Mitchell's like the head honcho at this place, and like everybody is just a lackey of this guy. And so our hero, the protagonist, Steve, I think his name is Steve.
Yeah, it's Steve Wiebe.
Yeah, Wiebe, that's it. He wants to beat the score, and so he does all this stuff to try to prove that he's the new best guy, and the whole organization is against him. You know, and they're just like, no, we want Billy Mitchell. We want him to be our top guy. We don't want you coming in and wrecking everything. Yeah. So that's what I thought was really good, because they took a documentary film, which usually sometimes people find boring because it is, you know, they're regular people and they just kind of talk and jaw. But in this movie, they actually find this microcosm of characters mm-hmm. where they come out and like you hate some of them and you love some of them, like as if it was a planned movie with actors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's literally one of my favorite documentaries of all time. It's so well done. And like even some of the stuff like transitions and kind of their cutaways and like the footage that they were able to get, kind of archive stuff. And it's like all of that mixing in like paints this really kind of amazing picture of a video game culture that's much different than like the PlayStation era video game, you know?
Yeah, it really is. And I really felt for the wife too. I thought she was a dynamic character because, you know, this guy didn't have a job or he lost his job, and he's kind of like OCD almost, where he has to focus on one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, I'm going to beat the Donkey Kong score. And so her and her kids have to like support him, even though he's losing, he's getting beat up by this organization.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to find work and all this stuff. So I thought she was kind of a likable character at the same time because, you know, she always had faith that he'd do well, even mm-hmm. though everything was against him.
Yeah. Definitely worth everyone's time. Even if you don't even really care for video games, it's more, like Tyler said, about these characters, which are real people. And, like, Billy Mitchell especially is one of the more entertaining, quote-unquote, characters that I've seen in, like, the past 10 years. Like, you can't write a character like Billy Mitchell. So,
in the words of Ben Pearson, smarmy douche. And it's on Instant Watch, too, so you don't... If you have Netflix, you don't even have to pay for it.
Fantastic.
Good. Wait for it.
Anything else?
When are we getting a check from Netflix, seriously? Every week in and week out, we advertise the hell out of that thing.
I don't know. I'll send them a strongly worded letter.
Yeah, really. Pay us now. Ben, speaking of media consumed, is there anything you did this week that you may have consumed media-wise?
I did. There was one thing that I really wanted to talk about, and it's a documentary. I guess this is like the documentary version of media consumed. It's called Directed by John Ford, and it was directed by Peter Bogdanovich, who's a famous director in his own right.
The Western guy? From like the Searchers and stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So John Ford, yeah, being the really, really famous kind of iconic American director of the Searchers and all these things. This movie is very interesting because I saw like a re-release of it that came out in 2006. And the original movie was released in 1971. And it featured interviews with like Henry Fonda, Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, and John Ford himself. And then... Orson Welles actually did the narration of the movie, and then it was recut and re-edited in 2006, adding more interviews and things with Harry Carey Jr., Clint Eastwood, Martin Scorsese, Steven Spielberg, and a couple other people. So it's really interesting because it mixes this brand new footage of like all these people that are, you know, like really, really famous, as well as the kind of old school of like Henry Fonda, Jimmy Stewart, and all those guys. All kind of in the same movie, and Peter Bogdanovich does kind of interviews John Ford, and he also, it's funny because you see in the original footage, you can see what he looks like younger when he originally directed the movie, and then he also does kind of some interview segments with himself, really, just kind of taped floating head interview spots in the 2006 version, so it's interesting to see what, you know, what his thoughts and stuff are and how they change over the years too. But it's really, really great. I mean, I didn't know much about John Ford. I've seen Stagecoach and The Searchers and a lot of his classic stuff, but I'm not like a John Ford connoisseur by any means. I think Tyler, you've probably seen way more John Ford movies than I have.
Yeah. He makes some really good Westerns.
Yeah, and I think he directed like over 140 movies in his career or something insane like that. So I was just interested in this more of like on kind of a historical basis of just kind of seeing all of his work and what people thought of it and things like that. And it's really, really good. I mean, it's totally different from something like The King of Kong, obviously, but It was really cool to see those interviews, especially cut in with stories from Spielberg and stuff, where when he was a kid, he met John Ford one time, and he tells this great story about how he went into the office, and he was like talking with John Ford's secretary and saying that he wanted to be a director when he grew up, and he wanted to just meet John Ford for a second. Ford was out of the office, and he came back inside from lunch or something and told the secretary that Spielberg had 1 minute of his time. So Spielberg like walks into his office, and like he's telling this story in interview format, and he says that when he walked in, Ford had his like feet up on the desk and everything. He's like, "So you want to be a movie director, huh?" What do you think about these pictures up on the wall? And, like, all around the walls of his office, he had these, like, really beautiful paintings, like, Western paintings, with, like, Indians on horseback and, you know, just the kind of typical Western imagery that you always see. And so Spielberg walks over to one, and Ford's like, okay, describe to me what you see there. And he's like, okay, well, it's a Native American on horseback. And he's like, no, where's the horizon? Where's the horizon in this picture? And Spielberg is like, it's like right here, and starts pointing at it. He's like, no, don't point at it. Tell me where it is. And he's like, it's right here at the bottom of the frame. You know, it's just right there at the bottom. He's like, all right, move on to the next one. So he walks over across the room and goes to the next picture and goes, what do you see? And he's like, well, the horizon's up here at the top of the frame this time. And Ford looks at him and says, all right, well, when you feel comfortable enough putting the horizon at the top or at the bottom of the frame and not right in the middle, then maybe one day you'll be a good director. Now get the hell out of here. So it's like, you know, it's a lot of kind of anecdotes about his life and stories like that mixed in with footage from Jimmy Stewart and Henry Fonda and John Wayne, which are telling these stories like firsthand because they worked with him so many times in their own careers. And Orson Welles, you know, just kind of has this very rich voice and stuff, and his narration kind of lends an air of credibility and sophistication to it, too. So I would highly recommend checking this out for anybody who is even remotely interested in Westerns just, I guess, filmmaking in general, because it talks a lot more about, like, his methods and things like that as opposed to just being boxed in just to discussing Westerns. So it's called Directed by John Ford, re-released in 2006. So check that out if you can.
If you're looking for a John Ford Christmas movie, Three Godfathers, starring John Wayne and Harry Carey Jr.
Nice.
Always a good one to check out on the holidays.
Yeah, do you have any other favorite Ford movies?
Oh, yeah. The Searchers, obviously. The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
That
was
really great, too.
They call them the Cavalry Trilogy, which was three movies. I don't think they really had anything to do with each other, but they were John Wayne. I think one was Fort Apache. She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. I think the last one was Rio Grande. I'm not sure, though.
Okay.
And The Quiet Man is another good one with John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. Yeah, I was just looking at his IMDb page.
Nice.
But those are probably among my favorites.
Nice, good stuff. Okay, cool. Well, let's go ahead and move on into our review and discussion of Slapshot.
It's wild. It's outrageous. It's outrageously funny. Paul Newman, Coach Reggie Dunlop in this supercharged world of hockey. Invite you to meet the crazies who make it that way. The Players. Murderers Row. The Wives. The Fans. The Managers.
We're losing!
Teamwork, guys. More teamwork.
They're burying us alive!
Who are these guys?
They brought their toys with them!
And hustling them all, Paul Newman.
Oh, you are very clever.
There's never been a film like Slapshot. There may never be another.
All right, so Slapshot was a comedy, or is a comedy, directed in 1977 by George Roy Hill, who actually directed Butch Cassidy.
Butch Cassidy.
Sundance Kid, yeah. Kind of reuniting him with his star, Paul Newman. Rest in peace, indeed. Yeah, that was one of the bigger recent celebrity deaths that really kind of hit Hollywood hard, was the loss of Paul Newman. But what did you think about Slapshot, Tyler?
I've always heard good things about this movie, but I've never really checked it out. But I really enjoyed it. Like, I laughed a lot during that movie. the Hanson brothers, Paul Newman's just insistence on making this team violent as hell, and just the things he does was kind of weird throughout the movie, but then I realized, you know, he's kind of a crooked character to begin with, so I guess he doesn't really need any justification in hitting on one of his players' wives, or, you know, just telling the Hanson brothers to just eat the ice as opposed to playing real hockey. So, but overall, the film was really funny and worth a watch at least once.
Yeah, it's one
if not multiple times.
Yeah, it's widely known as like one of the defining sports movies of all time, I think. Like one of the funniest and most effective. And I had never seen it either, and it's been kind of on my list for a long, long time. And they just don't make movies like this anymore. Like, you know, people say that a lot, but literally they do not make movies where people, like, the dialogue here is so vulgar and just brash, and there's, like, all these references to homosexuality that would never be, like, approved at all in today's kind of movie landscape, which is kind of, like, watching it, you're just like, man, like, times have changed so much, you know, from the late 70s when they were making movies like this, and people, like, audiences and I guess like our culture has just grown into a point where this would be just intolerable basically if something like this came out today. So it's kind of refreshing in that regard to watch something like this where people could essentially say and do almost whatever they wanted without really worrying about political correctness and all that stuff. But at the same time, it's just like, it's a little overkill with the like really ridiculous stuff that goes on in here. I will say that I liked it a lot, probably more than I thought I was going to. And Paul Newman was great. I haven't seen a ton of his stuff, embarrassingly. You know, I call myself a movie lover, and I've probably only seen maybe 5 Paul Newman movies in my life. And I really, like, every time I see him, I'm like, man, he was really great in that. So I just need to kind of expand my own personal horizons a little bit and watch more of his stuff, because I've really enjoyed him in everything that I've ever seen him in.
It's weird you're saying the movie was crude and not, and things have changed. I didn't really even think about that. I just kind of, I was just too busy laughing that I didn't even realize. I was like, yeah, I guess we can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
Or, well, yeah, I guess that wouldn't really happen these days because of this, that, or these kind of groups or whatever. But the best thing I liked about it was, like, it almost felt like it could happen. Like, these people, and I know I say this a lot as far as my love for character development, but I like the fact that these could have been real people. Like, these could have been just everyday people living in this, this industrial town, you know, and the factory closes down and all these people are out of work. And, you know, you got this crappy hockey team at these people and their lives intertwining with each other, and you're just kind of like, you know, this is the kind of stuff that a director or writer would sit down and, like, sit in a restaurant or something for, like, the entire day and just see what kind of people walked in and the conversations they would have and how they would talk and what they were talking about. And that kind of, I wonder if someone did that to prepare for this movie, because it felt like, you know, these kind of people are around or were around and talk like this, and
yeah,
just these funny situations happening, like these 3 guys from Canada come down with these thick glasses and just act a fool. You know, that's, you know, they weren't outrageous enough to be like, that would never happen, but they were just enough to be like, oh, you know, I've met people that could probably fit those descriptions.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned
hotel room. Like, I know a few of my friends that would probably play with toys.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was looking up a little bit about this movie, and it was written by a woman named Nancy Dowd, and apparently her brother actually played minor league hockey, and, like, that's essentially what this movie is based on, is, like, his experience in the 1970s, and, like, all the characters, especially the Hanson brothers, are actually based on real, actual brothers that played with her brother on the team and stuff like that. So there's a lot of those characters that are legitimately based on real people, so I think your assessment is right, that somebody kind of sat around and listened to what these people were saying, because that's basically what she did as far as research to write the movie goes. I liked it really did feel very naturalistic in that way. You know, like, the dialogue is not really, it's not stylized, and everybody, because there's so much swearing and stuff, it's a professional hockey team. Of course people are going to be swearing all the time. That's something that I hate about other movies that kind of depict pro sports teams, where they're not swearing all the time, because you know that they really would be in real life. And this movie completely embraces that and just has like all the guy, like the relationships between the players and stuff, people always like ribbing each other and just kind of messing around back and forth and like making cracks at each other's wives and stuff. Like that's what happens, like especially between opposing teams on the ice. Like at one point Paul Newman's like basically telling the opposing goalie that his wife is a lesbian and stuff like that. That's the type of stuff that happens in like the quote unquote heat of battle in like a professional sports arena. So I really enjoyed that part of it, how kind of naturalistic it was. And that, yeah, like if these people were put out of business or, you know, 10,000 people are suddenly out of a job because of this factory, they're going to need something to kind of latch onto. And it would probably be something violent, you know?
Yeah, really. Yeah, I did like just some of those scenes though were kind of outrageous. Like when Newman walked into the Reggie, you know, the character's name, walked into the owner's house, like he realizes that the wife owns the team,
mm-hmm.
and he's like talking about her son as he's leaving because he's really pissed off, and he's like, "You may want to remarry soon."
Yeah, we can't repeat the dialogue here because it's so.
I was going to, but I pled the fifth.
Yeah,
yeah. Just there were scenes like that you know kind of stepped over the line, as even for the '70s, where but again, you just realize Reggie's just a crooked character to begin with. Like he doesn't care what he says and who's offended by it, because this entire movie, like I said, you know, he's hitting on one of the players' wives, and I don't know if he was trying to better or is he just trying to mess with the player like she suggested.
Yeah.
And so you're just kind of like, well, is this a good guy? Is he good in any capacity? Is he trying to achieve something, or does he just want to win so that they can move to Florida?
Yeah.
And to win you have to beat up the rest of the players as opposed to play hockey.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the end, spoiler alert, it doesn't matter because they do it anyway.
Yeah.
And there's a slap shot 2 and 3, so we don't know what happens to the...
I don't know if Paul Newman returned for those sequels, did he?
I think the Hansen brothers returned for one of them.
Okay.
I don't know if he returned.
Nice.
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Hansen brothers, I think they were clearly an influence for the Bash brothers in D2, The Mighty Ducks Are Back. You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of this movie, the kind of sports cliches and stuff that I feel like influence later movies to come. I mean, even when you mentioned the owner of the team being a woman, I feel like that might, like Oliver Stone might have taken that into account with Any Given Sunday. If I recall correctly, Cameron Diaz played the owner of the Sharks or whatever the football team was in that movie too. So, and even something like Major League, I think, featured like a woman that owned the team and just didn't care about that. Major League probably shares more in common with Slapshot than a lot of other ones, just because of the whole like down and out reject squad mentality, you know, where they're just
right.
Like really crappy. And then the woman just doesn't care about what they're doing because they're so bad. And she just wants to kind of get rid of the team. It's been a little while since I've seen Major League.
Yeah,
really
I was about to say, I need to go back and rewatch those, because I watched those originally when I was like, I don't know, 7.
Yeah.
With my dad.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
Always a classic.
Yeah. The thing that I kind of found interesting about the movie is like, the Hansen brothers are, yes, very clearly ridiculous characters. And like once Newman's character gives them a shot on the ice and discovers that they're just willing to beat the crap out of people for entertainment value, like their team seems to do very well inexplicably, even though they're, I assume they're a terrible hockey team because they haven't been winning. And then like, this is almost the way that when you and I were in high school, we used to play some hockey video games with a couple friends of ours, and we would not even care about what the final score was. We would actually go to the stats page afterwards and just look to see whatever team had the most hits, and like that was the determining factor of who won the game. And that's kind of what this movie feels like to some degree, because it very rarely shows the the Chiefs, which are the protagonist team, scoring actual goals. You know, I feel like they've scored maybe like they showed maybe like 5 goals in the entire movie or something that they scored. And then, but they showed them hitting people constantly. So it's strange that they concentrated so much on the violence and not hardly at all on the actual act of playing what they refer to as old school hockey or whatever they call it. Old time
hockey, yeah.
Old time hockey, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, the point of this movie was kind of lost on me while I was watching it up until the very last scene, and then everything kind of fell into place with what the movie was for me and what I took it to mean. What did you think about like the movie itself, like the final kind of brawl scene where the guy strips down and stuff? Like, what was your read on that?
He started doing it, and I was like, okay, is he gay? I don't know. But then I was like, well, maybe he's just entertaining, but without violence, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was freaking, I didn't get it. I was just kind of like the team where they were just kind of like, what the hell is he doing? I guess we won. That's awesome. So I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't talking about like within the confines of the narrative. I just meant like the movie itself, like what the movie, what George Roy Hill and company were trying to do with that last scene kind of, or with the movie itself really fell into place with me for that last scene where I read it as like with, what was the character's name? Braden, I believe, was the guy who was stripping on the ice. With him doing that and like all this violence going on at the same time and throughout the entire course of the movie, you know, people are just getting beaten to a pulp. And the final opposing team is comprised almost solely of like these brawlers that one guy even got pulled out of prison to play back on the ice, yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
Oglethorpe.
Yeah. So. Hoggy. You know, like there's all this violence going on, and like even during that scene, the players are on the ice like pounding the crap out of each other, and this guy just starts stripping on the ice, and Oglethorpe, I think, or no, it wasn't Oglethorpe, it was one of the other
McCracken.
Yeah, thank you, McCracken. He like goes up to the ref and says like, make him stop. I protest to this. Like, you have to make him stop doing this. This is really like freaking me out or whatever. And the ref's like, I'm not gonna make him stop. So like the whole thing for me read as like kind of an indictment of the movie industry as a whole, like letting all this violence onto screens, but anything remotely involving sexuality, people just clamp down on and like can't handle it. You know, the Motion Picture Association of America is notorious for letting movies like Saw and their sequels and these really super gory things where people just get like sliced open on screen fly with R ratings. And then anything involving depictions of sex, even not like whatever full on like porn levels of sex, most of the time they slap.
Whoa.
Most of the time they slap that.
The first mention of porn on the Not Just New Movies podcast.
Yeah, what is this, episode 21 or something? Yeah.
Porno.
Surprised it took us that long.
We broke the seal.
Yes. Well, you know, the MPAA is mostly known for like slapping those movies with an NC-17 rating just to, you know, conceivably like what their justification is, they're protecting society from images like that. And like the whole battle obviously is like really like that's what we need to be protected from rather than people getting gutted on screen and like just horrific portrayals of violence. So I think that I was kind of surprised to see those ideas come and presented to us in Slapshot, which is a movie from the late 70s. I didn't really realize the extent of how long the MPAA has been doing stuff like that, but I feel like that's a very clear message of what the film is trying to do and trying to bring, you know, this issue into a larger light, just, you know, in the disguise of this hockey comedy.
I just saw hockey comedy, man. I'm sorry.
All right.
I was in the dark on that message.
That's fair enough.
I left that movie with some new swear words. What I got out of that.
Okay. All right.
I'm not the smartest tech.
I mean, what do you think about that, though? Do you think that's a reasonable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd write a paper on that.
All right, I just want to make sure I'm not completely off.
I'd submit that to a journal or something.
I'm sure somebody else probably has beat me to the punch in that, but and
yeah,
I don't
you never know.
I don't know if journals would accept something a paper devoted to the movie Slapshot.
No, that's the kind of stuff they're looking for now. They need readers. What better to bring in readers than with Slapshot?
True. One other interesting parallel that I saw was the battle in the stands was very, like, eerily reminiscent of the Pistons-Pacers brawl from a few years ago. Did you notice that at all?
Well, yeah, of course, because anytime a player runs into the stands to beat the shit out of somebody, oh, it's always reminiscent of that game.
Yeah, that was pretty
funny. Hits them with a, yeah, it was funny because the brothers are like, you hit me with like a keychain, man. And they just climb the wall with these skates and just, and one of the brothers had lost his glasses, so he's just randomly punching people, and one of the brothers, that's not him, it was that guy. And so he moves up a little and he punches someone else. He goes, nope, that wasn't him, it's the guy up there. And then the last guy goes, it wasn't me, and then he gets hammered by the I was just like, oh, that is awesome. Because I think in the Pistons game, I think a couple people get their ass kicked because one guy, like, tries to fight what is it?
Jermaine O'Neal came sliding in and just decked that dude on the
yeah, that's the it. Ground. Yeah, a couple people got punched, so
yeah,
it wasn't up to par with the slap shot scene, but yeah, it was very similar.
Yeah,
anytime the crowd gets into a fight with an athletic organization is high class entertainment.
Yeah, and like that scene in particular, or I guess maybe right, it wasn't that scene. It was later, like the final kind of battle where Paul Newman puts the bounty on that guy's head and says that I'll give my player, you know, the first guy to basically take this guy out, I'll give him all his cash, like out of my own money. And the guy who changes his name to Killer comes after the guy with his hockey stick as like a sword, and they're just like dancing around in like this sword battle with these hockey sticks. It just really kind of goes to cement that gladiatorial feeling that this movie, you know, depicts the sport as. It's just like nobody really cares about the goals. Everybody just cares about watching people beat the crap out of other people.
I liked how they kept reusing the same song whenever they'd be on a bus ride. Did you notice that? They played it multiple times.
It was one of the ones from like the Motown era or something, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it was like one of the. I think it was a disco song. I don't know. Yeah. But they got progressively more and more popular, and eventually their bus would be followed by a booster club school bus.
Yeah.
And then at one point, the guy's like hammering holes into the side of the team bus. They're like, "What the hell are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, don't worry. It looks mean." So, like, the bus drives by, and it's got like this hole, like. Wall, it's falling apart because they want to look badass.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed every scene in that movie. It's hard to appease me as far as keeping my attention for an entire 2 hours, but this movie actually succeeded in doing so.
Yeah, and I liked, I mean, if we're talking about specific scenes, I also like the one kind of near the very beginning when they're doing all the PR stunts and kind of
stuff.
Like the guys are being forced to dress up in this fashion show.
Yeah,
the guy threatens to like pull out his unit in front of everyone, and like you don't see it, but you hear people just shrieking from off camera, and you know that he did it. So
the radio personality is just bored to hell. He's like, "Oh yeah, I heard you studied engineering at the college," and the guy's like, "Yeah, that's what it says in the yearbook." And the guy goes, "Oh, that's great."
Yeah,
it's like random generic answers whenever they say anything because he's not listening.
Yeah,
I thought that guy was pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't
the delivery in this movie was great. At the very beginning, they're playing the presidents, and Reggie skates up to this one guy. He goes, "What's up?" And he goes, "I'm drunk. I don't know why they keep playing me, but if I get thrown up against the boards, I'm gonna piss on myself." And so this whole match is going on, and. And Reggie's talking to the team. He's like, "Yeah, that guy, you know, whatever his name was, is drunk. He's, you know." And then eventually, he does get slammed up against the boards, and he like crouches down and slowly skates out.
Yeah, he was like a ticking time bomb in that scene.
Yeah. And you're just like, okay, well, this is the tone the movie's gonna hit. I hope they keep this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have much else to say. I mean, I like the movie a lot, and it was, kind of like we were saying before, it's a lot more vulgar than movies tend to be today, unless it's like a Judd Apatow comedy or something like that. But even that, even those movies, I think, are more like vulgar for the sake of being vulgar. And this one really did kind of have that naturalistic vibe to the dialogue and stuff, where it seemed pretty organic for what professional sports players would actually be saying.
Yeah. Unless you have the moral constraints of the Queen of England, you'll probably have a smile throughout the entire movie when you watch this. It's a vulgar language, nudity, whatever. Deal with it. It's a good movie.
Right on. All right. Well, let's go ahead and rev up the old Apple II and let people know what we're going to be watching next week.
Yeah, no problem, Ben. I've frozen some portions of the computer, in celebrating the holiday season. So let's see what kind of output it has.
All right.
Oh, okay, two Jackie Chan movies. So if you enjoyed Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and if you're enjoying Van Damme December, then you're going to enjoy next week's episode, which features Rumble in the Bronx, yes, and Super Cop.
Nice. I've actually never seen either one of those.
So. Wait for it. Super Cop.
Okay. For those who are regular listeners, you know that most of the time our episodes are released, either late Sunday nights or early on Mondays. Next week, we'll probably be putting it out closer to the middle of the week. So just a little scheduling thing for you guys who like to keep current with all this.
Don't watch Lawrence of Arabia again.
Yeah, sorry about that again. We'll get to it. I promise we'll get to it. Okay, so let's go ahead and read our email. You guys can always email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com and let us know what you think of the show. And we, most of the time, we'll read it on the air.
All the time, every time.
Unless it's like a... some sort of spam email or something, which we've stopped doing. But, yeah, okay, this one is from Gus Manzanotti. There we go. Dear Not Just New Movies, I'm about to go all Andy Rooney on your derrieres. So, Ben, I've heard you've been seeing a thrush of movies in the theaters, but all geared toward dark and brooding adults. Do you take the time to see movies meant for children? Yogi Bear, for instance. I will be seeing this as it tickles me on several levels. My appreciation of the original Yogi Bear cartoon, my love for all things bear in nature, and that lovely Anna Faris teaching kids about responsibility and whatnot. I just thought, Ben, perhaps bring the show back down to the family level and let us know how you felt about the misadventures of the lovable furry forest friend. And Pat, I've been hearing you went to Stonehenge and not one measly mention of it on the podcast. For shame, that is. Share these everlasting memories with the ones you love. Don't bottle them up like some cloyingly sweet jam for winter. And Tyler, we get it. You like terriers. Watch something else, please. Stop shoving it down our throats like some free-wielding sign holder. Take from Ben and the geologist over there and serve us something fresh, not that smelting Sunday catch-of-the-day mishmash. Yours, Gus Manzanotti, podcast reviewer. Wow. Thank you, Gus. First of all, I will not be seeing Yogi Bear, hopefully ever, because I think that looks terrible.
Ben, really?
Tyler.
It's got your favorite actors, Dan Aykroyd and Justin Timberlake, and the guy who played Ed.
Are you going to see Yogi Bear, Tyler?
No, those aren't my favorite actors.
They're not my favorite actors either, but that's beside the point.
I must have misread your profile.
Yeah, you did. You misread it. Movies meant for children. I actually just saw Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. I would assume that's probably geared towards kids. So if you're legitimate and you're concerned for my movies for children, check out notjustthemovies.com. There's reviews and stuff there. How to Train Your Dragon was probably a movie based more towards kids, and that's one of my favorite movies of the year. So to be serious about your answer that or your question that is probably very tongue-in-cheek, I will say yes to that.
Pat, just watched Land Before Time 8.
Wow, are they still going with that series?
I'm pretty sure 8 has been made.
Good lord, I think we were like 7 when the first one came out. Okay, and then Pat, I believe, did mention his trip to Stonehenge last week, if I'm not mistaken. Tyler, you want to back me on that?
Tyler? Yes, it
okay.
did.
Okay.
It's Stonehenge, not Henge.
No, it is Henge.
It's like a hedge of bushes.
No, that's incorrect.
It's like a hinge on a door?
H-E-N-G-E. Stonehenge.
Really? Yeah. The Stonehenge, H-E-D-G-E.
No.
That doesn't make sense at all.
I don't know, man. It's
a hinge that's not on a door.
I don't really understand the mystical powers of rocks that are unexplained, but...
I went them from Ireland to England, so yeah. The story is.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Pat more details about that when he comes back.
Yeah.
And then, Tyler, I believe you are probably the biggest fan of terriers on this entire podcast, right?
Yeah, the biggest fan of, the biggest fan of terriers for a person who hasn't seen any of the episodes. So,
right on.
Yeah, I guess that could be true.
And then we should probably, I'll see if I can find, like, a clip from Taps or something to play in the background because Terriers has actually been canceled. I don't know if we talked about that last week.
Oh, really?
Yes,
I was just going to watch it. Oh, well.
No, you weren't, but that's all right. Okay. Well, in any case, thank you for the email, Gus. We also have a Twitter account now, so you guys can follow us on Twitter. And for the immediate future, we'll be reading all of our new Twitter followers. The listener who wrote in our first email, Brandon Gibbs, is following us now, at Brandon Gibbs. So check him out there. At Heather2222 and at free_publicity_. So
spam.
That is probably a spam one, but thanks anyway. So
now habla español.
We appreciate that. We do not have any voicemails this week, but you guys can call and leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566. Also, you can subscribe to this podcast for free in iTunes, and please leave us a review. Just take 10 seconds and go over there and tell us whether you like it or hate it or whatever. That'd be awesome. We also have a Facebook page, and you can follow us, like I said, on Twitter at NJNM Podcast. All right, so Tyler, let's finish up the character name game. You want to hit us with that name one more time?
Yeah, let me get that card out. It's Babe Bennett.
Babe Bennett, man.
She's from Stonehenge.
Now I'm going to have an issue here because it's just me and I don't have Pat to rely on and bounce.
Yeah,
forth
Squirm. I'm the puppet master.
I'm going to say Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Incorrect.
Okay. Shaun of the Dead.
Wrong.
How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
No dice.
Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Try again, Tiger Chin.
Seraphim Falls.
Go Fish.
Okay, all right, I'm done guessing. So I'm not done guessing, but if you want to give me some sort of clue, maybe a year, a genre, something like that.
Yeah, a genre would be comedy.
All right, that's not going to help me out any. Maybe a year or a director or something.
Okay, year would be 2002.
Man, I'm just trying to... I mean, I know the only two movies that came out this past weekend were Voyage of the Dawn Treader and The Tourist, so it's got to be somebody. It's got to have something to do with that. The World Is Not Enough?
That was 1999.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
So, incorrect. Not a comedy.
Oh, yeah, that's not a comedy at all. Okay, I'm giving up, basically.
You're
so.
Being booed off stage if yeah. This was a real game show.
Yes.
You're giving up?
I mean, unless you want to give me like another
keep
actor,
going.
Another actor who's in it or something?
Yes, I can give you the other actor.
Okay.
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler from 2002? I don't remember years of Adam Sandler movies. Big Daddy.
No.
Click was way later. Hang on.
Click, boom. Oh, wrong.
Mr. Deeds.
Mr. Deeds is correct.
Nice. Okay. Wow.
Correcto. Babe Bennett, of course, was Winona Ryder's character in Mr. Deeds. She was pretty good in that. She also played the character in Edward Scissorhands. And, of course, Edward Scissorhands was played by Johnny Depp, who this weekend premiered in The Tourist with Angelina Jolie.
Yes. Okay. I was
premiere at Stonehenge.
Yeah, I was a little short-sighted with my guesses. I wasn't expecting the further connection there, but
yeah, that's what I do, man.
Good stuff. All right. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, let's go ahead and go around the circle and just
super cop.
Go around the circle, I mean go back and forth between you and I to tell people.
Yeah, it's a line, really.
Where they can find
point A to point B,
like a line segment.
Yeah, line segment.
Where
let's throw it to the other side of the segment.
Can find us on the internet. So go ahead.
Yo, you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Solar Sentinel, Desogeddon, Geek Tyrant. I've been posting some stuff on Geek Tyrant. I don't know if anybody out there in cyberspace has read it, but check it out. It's probably at the bottom of page 4 by now. So check it out.
Indeed. Are you going to be bringing back the This Week in Comics column over there anytime soon?
Well, if you noticed, I kind of did like a snippet. A TWIC snippet. I think that's the way I'm going to do it now so that I can increase my post-production while at the same time doing as little work as possible.
Nice. Good stuff. At least you're honest. All right.
We do it over at the Sentinel offices.
So you guys can track me down on Twitter at twitter.com/BenPears. That's BenPears. You can find me writing at geektyrant.com. I just did a big kind of press junket for True Grit, the upcoming Jeff Bridges Coen Brothers movie, which was really
the link to that actually is on our Twitter page.
Yes, indeed. You can find me writing reviews at Filmonic.com and NotJustNewMovies.com, which is the namesake for this podcast. And you can find Pat and I on the Geek Tyrant Weekly podcast. Music for our show is provided by George Turner and the Bandits. You can find their music at GTBandits.com. And they're also on Twitter and Facebook. And again, thanks to them for putting a link to us on their official website. Thanks, guys. And so you guys, if you want to tune in and listen in next week, we're going to be watching Rumble in the Bronx and Super Cop, so check that out. And
Geek Tyrant podcast is hitting a century mark, am I right?
Yes, the 100th episode of the Geek Tyrant podcast, which you can also find in iTunes or at geektyrant.com, will be airing, I believe, on Wednesday night this week. So that will be Wednesday, December 15th, 2010. So keep your eyes peeled for that. We're actually going to be talking about our top 5 favorite movies and TV shows of all time. And then Tyler, hopefully, if all goes according to plan, you might be able to actually join us for that episode. So.
Join or at least send a message.
Yes, yes.
In a bottle. So,
right on. You better send that now so it gets all the way out to California before.
And I want the Sting song to play while you read it.
I'll see if I can make that happen. All right, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Later. Money that